Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith, and hope. Discover more interviews at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Hi, this is Stephen O'Doherty. Each year, the United Nations Refugee Relief Agency, the UNHCR, publishes its report on global forced displacement. The most recent report has found that 20 people are newly displaced every minute of every day. The global population of forcibly displaced people has grown substantially in recent years. It's now at a record high of 65.6 million. The main driving factor is the Syrian conflict, along with other conflicts in regions such as Iraq, Yemen, the sub-Saharan Africa, including Burundi, the Central African Republic, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, South Sudan, and Sudan. What's forcing people to flee is persecution, conflict, violence, and other human rights violations. Tens of millions of people who no longer have a home have a story. And if they could possibly go home, they would. On World Refugee Day, the UN's High Commissioner for Refugees called for all people to stand with refugees and not victimize them again because they're in some way different.
So on World Refugee Day, when we pause to contemplate the fate of the millions of people who cannot return to their homes tonight because of war or persecution, it is also a moment to ask ourselves what each of us can do to overcome indifference or fear and embrace the idea of inclusion, to welcome refugees to our own communities and counter narratives that would seek to exclude and marginalize refugees and other uprooted people. Because when we stand together with refugees, we also stand for respect and diversity for all.
Filippo Grandi, the UN's High Commissioner for Refugees. Well, many Syrian and Iraqi refugees have found sanctuary in Australia, and especially in the southwestern suburbs of Sydney, in places like Bankstown. That's where the local Anglican community has suddenly found itself at the centre of a massive effort to reach out in love and in service to people from Syria and Iraq. Reverend John Bartik says it's enriched his church and the whole community.
There's a whole bunch of apartments near our church, and just suddenly on our doorstep we're getting contacted by refugees who are interested. We've got one particular program. This is an Anglicare program where they have, it's called the Mobile Community Pantry. Mm-hmm. And we have basically a van turns up, and if you've got an immigration card or a healthcare card, this is for everyone in the community. You can spend $10 and get about $60 worth of food. We found over this year about 50 to 70% of the people who turn up to that program are Syrian refugees.
Yes.
And some Iraqis.
Well, thank goodness that the program exists. It does rather make you wonder about the amount of support being provided in the settlement program, but it's not my intention to go into that side of the story tonight.
Yeah, they really appreciate it. So it's something that they come up, and we do everything we can to build our connections with them. So we've used that program to do further contact. A couple of weeks ago, some of the refugees came to me and they said, do you have any blankets or heaters? And just as it was starting to get cold, and I went, I'm sure I can organize them because I've got contacts in Anglicare, contacts in other churches.
Yes.
And I reached out, and we've basically been inundated with lots of blankets, lots of doonas, and a whole bunch of heaters that we've distributed.
Well, God's very resourceful, and there is unlimited resources available, if you take my point, provided people notice. And
yes.
Now suddenly you're in the middle of a very changing community. But I gather that
yes.
Not just are they coming to you for physical, material help, now they are attending a church.
Yes, there's people turning up to church. There's a lot who appear to be Christian and with Christian background, and they feel comfortable coming to our church.
Good.
And we provide community to them. We've got a few people who are actively seeking to work with them. One of our staff members is he's doing some great work contacting them. We've got another man who is coming in who's recently become fluent in Arabic, and they're trying to build community, build Christian community with Discovery Bible Studies. in order to basically help them to connect with one another, connect with Australian society, and to, you know, really grow together.
So what's been the effect on your congregation and the community around your church itself?
The congregation is really wanting to help. Everyone really wants to help, and it's been there's been some amazing stories that the congregation just goes, wow, we're really in the center of things. We had a young boy from straight from Aleppo. He came to church one day, and his family, they were basically in the same sort of church, evangelical church in Syria, and they went to a church in Lebanon, and they showed me this video of him playing piano. And I looked at the video and I thought, this kid's amazing. He's incredible. And they said, do you have a piano that he can play on? I didn't have a piano. And I, a couple of days later, I was at a cafe and they just had this new piano where no one's to play it. And I made that connection. And SBS picked up that connection, just the connection of this young boy starting to play piano after 2 years in a refugee camp. And he's now back in his passion to become a concert pianist. And just on Tuesday this week, someone saw that story on SBS. And because of that story, he got invited to play for Peter Dutton and the Prime Minister at the Canberra's Refugee Week. So we sent a whole busload of the Syrians in our area to go there. But that's just that's a good news story. The other thing is people in churches all around have been saying, oh, well, you're contacting these people. What can we do to help? And we've got a woman coming from West Pymble who's just organizing as much support from her church to our church. And she's bringing olive oil, which is a new thing we're trying to do, reach out to them with olive oil. We're doing all these blankets and heaters and things, which they really need right now. But the more important work is that we're seeking to love them and foster their faith, and for them to feel as though that Australia is a new spiritual home, and that they have a spiritual home. This Tuesday, we're actually going to be giving them Arabic-English Bibles as they start to learn their language. Lots of them are in language college.
Oh, and what a great use of that resource then. An Arabic-English Bible will allow them to learn their language and learn their scriptures, and it's a very time-honoured tradition. I'm just really taken by your depiction there of a woman who comes from West Pymble on a weekly basis or regular basis to assist in Bankstown. Now, you can say that they're a fair way apart geographically, and if we're going to be truthful, they're a fair way apart demographically. West Pymble and Bankstown, they're quite different suburbs in different parts of Sydney, and they have a different complexion. Bankstown being famous as the place where Paul Keating grew up, and in those days it was a very monocultural part of Sydney. Working class suburb, all of the things that that means. After waves of immigration, the suburb has changed its complexion. But at the heart of Bankstown, you would say that there are still people who are probably less welcoming of outsiders than you've just described. Is that a fair description?
I think the population here is accustomed. They can't but be accustomed. We've got a place in the middle of Bankstown called Saigon Place.
Right.
And it's little Vietnam. It's little Saigon. Every single shop has you know, Chinese or Vietnamese writing on it. It's beautiful. And it's not just Vietnamese people there, although there's a majority of Vietnamese who feel at home in that little stretch. Everyone comes and just feels like this is our area. Our area is global.
But if you wound the clock back maybe 30 years, you would see people rejecting these outsiders from coming in, wouldn't you? Isn't it interesting how that's changed? And I wonder, from your point of view now, as a man who has given his life to serving God's people through his church, were you equipped for that?
I was. I previously, before I went into ministry, I was an English teacher, to ESL English teachers. And so I taught ESL. I actually have a role with Anglicare. I support all the church-based English classes in Anglican churches from Marrickville to Liverpool. And I train teachers, and I make videos teaching people how to better engage with people who they don't know how to communicate with. I've been working as strategically and best as I can to help our whole diocese, our whole city, and anyone I can help to better engage with migrants. That is what I do.
Well, that's how wonderful. What a great provision of God that you're able to. So did you deliberately choose Bankstown, or did Bankstown choose you?
Yeah, Bankstown chose me. I was at Revesby, which is next door to Bankstown previously, and the opportunity to serve at Bankstown was quite exciting because it is just so densely rich. Our church is located really close to the center of town. So many people pass by. So many people are interested. We've got an English class with 40 people, and there's times where it's been growing by 5 people a week. They just go, oh, wow, I can learn English here. This is great. And we charge like $2 or something. It's either free or $2. I can't remember. But it's very effective and powerful way to reach out to people.
Now, you'll be aware, perhaps, of churches in other parts of Australia, Sydney, let's say, wherever, that are a bit inward-looking. What would you say to them about the experience of your church in a ministry to outsiders who've become insiders who actually just turned up on your doorstep?
You know what's amazing? We've got lots of Syrians coming along. But now, just this year, our congregation has turned African, half African. We've got people from Kenya, Nigeria, from all different countries in Africa. They love it. They love church. Inward-looking churches, what would I say? I would say the nations want community, and they want to meet you, and they want to fellowship and to share and know people from their new country. They don't want to... Some are too scared to step out of their little silo. You do get little silos of communities, but others are aching to meet you and love you and have community with you. They're wanting to share deep and spiritual things with Australians. You know, when I taught at Macquarie University, the tragedy was that some of these international students would spend 4 years in Australia and they would never set foot inside an Australian home, a native Australian home.
Yeah.
And they just didn't get to connect. And the more we reach out, the better. Because instead of the missionary context that we read about of old, where we would only be able to engage the nations by sending specific missionaries all the way across sea in planes and boats.
Yes.
The nations are coming to us.
That's right.
They're here right now. And reaching out to them, it might feel daunting, but it's not. A little bit of training is enough to really powerfully make an impact in these communities.
Yes, and so overcoming our initial reservations, which might just be based on us feeling inadequate, in the end, it seems to me, you end up doing what the very thing God wants you to do. Exactly. And by definition, that's got to be satisfying, hasn't it?
It's huge. And they teach you so much. You find out when you actually start going, so what is your culture like? What is your interests and beliefs like? The difference between cultures is so deep that you can't underestimate it at all. Every single word is deeply cultural. I'll give you an example, like the word law. When we think about law, what is legal and lawful, we think of Australian Constitution, the Australian, maybe if we've got a lot of language and culture. But the Pakistanis, in Pakistan, the same word for law is the word Sharia. They're a Muslim majority country, but they've got all that Muslim history in their word law. And I'm not commenting on that, but I'm just saying that this is the culture of just every single word is so deep and powerful and profound that you learn things by just talking to people and finding out and teaching them, oh, what do we mean by this?
Yes.
What do we mean by that? They are enriching to your life.
Yes, it's a marvellous picture that you paint. Now, you've got some knees. I don't want to let this moment pass without giving you a great big soapbox to say, how can we help you? How can people help you?
there's practical ways and extra practical ways. The practical things that we're doing right now is we're helping our Syrian Iraqi refugees with blankets, and I mentioned our olive oil program. Please send us your olive oil.
This is for cooking, I suppose, is it?
Yeah, they go through the stuff like water. They just love it. They cook everything with it.
It's funny. Our son is cooking a lot at home at the moment, and I know exactly what you mean. He's doing the same thing. And he doesn't come from the Middle East.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so you need olive oil, blankets. What else?
Blankets, doonas. We do need money. We're growing with migrants and refugees, we're loving it. We're learning a lot. We're gaining a lot. But they send, if they make a pay packet, they send their money back home. That's just how they do. We accept that.
Absolutely. It's very understandable.
That would help us.
Okay. Now, what about translators? You were talking about translators to me a bit earlier off air.
Someone out there who is very good at Arabic and English and is looking for a way to seriously help some Syrian Iraqi refugees. And if you can speak Arabic and want to turn up at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, we have a job for you. And you would be providing deeply for the spiritual welfare of these people as they learn more and more about our great Lord Jesus Christ, that they get to hear a message, the message of hope, to get them through the week as they sort of struggle along.
Well, Reverend Bartik, it's been absolutely marvellous talking to you, and I do love your enthusiasm, so thank you.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. We love to serve. We see ourselves as serving the wider church because everyone, there's a lot of interest in reaching out to the Syrian refugees that the government has brought into our country. Lots of Christians want to do that. And we love to do it on the behalf of other churches who simply don't have them coming into their area. And we're really proud of our work, and we are grateful beyond means of the support that we're receiving from other churches. And please keep it coming. Please keep it coming. We need it, and we love it, and we love working on your behalf.
Oh, well, just be encouraged tonight. Thank you once again.
Thank you, brother.